Welcome to the Choate Family Office podcast series. On this show, we explore important topics related to wealth management, investing, and managing risk across generations.
Hello, and thank you for joining our podcast about private investments. My name is Lanny Thorndike. I'm the president of Choate IA, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Allison Sfizzero. Allison's a portfolio manager and leads our private investment group. Today, we're diving into the world of private equity and exploring its potential benefits for families looking to diversify their portfolios. So let's jump right in. First question, Allison, is what is the definition of private equity?
Thank you, Lanny. Great place to start. Private equity strategies generally involve investing in companies that are not publicly traded on stock exchanges. So private equity fund managers, which we also refer to as general partners or GPs, make investments in companies at various stages of a business's life. For example, some GPs invest in younger, high-growth businesses, while others invest in undermanaged, mature businesses. Private equity firms form a fund by raising capital commitments from investors, which we refer to as limited partners or LPs. They then invest that committed capital in companies where they see opportunity to create value. And once the company is ready, they might take it public, sell it to another company, or find other means of selling their ownership, thereby generating a return for limited partners.
Why should people consider including private equity in their portfolios?
So there's three primary reasons to add private equity to one's portfolio. First and foremost, private equity boosts the performance of an investment portfolio. Based on historical trends, we estimate that a portfolio of private investments will exceed public equity partner markets by 3-5% on an annualized basis. Secondly, investing in private equity broadens the opportunity set in which a portfolio is invested. So, for example, if you were to take all the companies in the U.S. that have over 100 employees, 3% of those public, only 3% of those companies are public. So by adding private equity to your portfolio, you gain access to businesses and sectors not represented by public equity markets. And lastly, there are diversification benefits to private equity. One of those, for instance, is that since private markets are not priced daily like public stocks, they tend to be less volatile, meaning that they experience smaller swings in value compared to stocks. So this can really help provide stability and diversification within a family's overall portfolio.
So higher return expectations, diversification, access to private companies not easily bought and sold in public markets. What are the risks involved in private equity?
Great question. One of the most obvious risks, and the one that's most talked about, is illiquidity, meaning that private investments can't be bought or sold on an open market. So once an investor commits capital to a private equity fund, they're contractually obligated to pay that amount down as the manager makes capital calls. Additionally, your invested capital is essentially locked up until a manager sells an investment, giving limited partners very little flexibility as to when capital comes back to them. This is very different than investing in bonds or public equity markets, where there's an active market and daily liquidity. There's one other risk to take into consideration, which is something called the J-curve effect. This is the tendency for private equity funds to post negative returns in initial years and then increasing returns in later years as investments mature. So the negative returns at the onset of the fund is related to investment costs, adding new people and systems to a company, management fees, and just the general immaturity of the investments.
That's a really good point. Private investments seem like it could be a good fit for families with long-term wealth preservation goals.
Exactly. Wealthy families seeking to build wealth across generations and those that can accept a less liquid investment can potentially benefit greatly from having private investments, growth potential, and diversification benefits. Lanny, you and I actually were talking about the illiquidity as both a risk and a benefit. I believe you referred to it as the power of compounding. Could you expand on that?
Yes, the power of compounding is the basic concept that it often takes 3 to 5 years for many companies and management teams to build the domain expertise and sufficient scale to sustainably succeed in many industries. And private equity investors need to have this patient investment horizon of 5 to 7 years to allow this potential value creation to show up in the revenues and earnings and be realized by the market and hopefully by prospective acquirers. The trade-off is the liquidity, but the opportunity is for a larger return and a higher return over a longer period of time. We've discussed what private investments are and why they are an important piece of a long-term portfolio. So let's dive into the structure of the private equity commitment.
Absolutely, Lanny. So as I mentioned, a GP aggregates commitments from a number of LPs to form a fund. The fund then calls committed capital over time to deploy that capital into a collection of companies or other private assets, such as real estate. But the pool of committed capital doesn't just sit there in cash waiting to be invested. Rather, investors say, I will commit, for example, $100 to this fund. You don't give $100 on day one, but rather the GP may call $15 in year one, $20 in year two, as the fund makes investments. These requests for capital are referred to as capital calls. Then, later on in the fund life, as a company or assets are sold, the fund will start to distribute capital back to LPs. Ideally, this means the fund has built value in the asset and is selling it for more than they paid for it. For example, an investment of $10 hopefully comes back to you in $20, $25, or more.
So you mentioned the investor doesn't hand over the entire commitment amount up front. Is there a time frame for these funds of how long it takes to invest the capital and when investors can expect to see the value distributed back to them?
In terms of time frames, it can really vary among different strategies, but a reasonable rule of thumb is to expect your commitment to be called over 3 to 5 years, and then distributions typically start to come back around year 3 or 4 and then continue through the life of the fund. Overall, we typically say fund life is 10 to 12 years.
One other term we'd like to add here is unfunded commitment. The entire commitment isn't due at once, and so the portion of investors' total commitment that hasn't been called yet is referred to as the unfunded commitment portion. Using your example earlier, Allison, if you commit $100 and in year one the fund calls $10, then your unfunded amount is $90. And just to take it one step further, the investment amount that you put that is unfunded, that remains in your account and can work for you in your allocation between public equities, cash, and fixed income until it's drawn upon later in life. And then to wrap up, Allison, you mentioned the different strategies have different time horizons. What are some examples of private investment strategies? And more specifically, where does the Choate Private Markets team see most of the opportunity both today and for the foreseeable future?
Thanks, Lanny. So it's one of the things I love about private markets. There are so many interesting pockets of opportunity out there and so many managers executing different types of strategies to take advantage of those opportunities. Broadly speaking, most private markets funds are bucketed into a handful of categories. So those would be buyout, growth equity, venture capital, real assets, and private credit. And just to briefly describe each of these strategies, buyouts is where a fund invests in companies for majority ownership stake, and the companies are typically generating profits and revenues at the time of investment. The time horizon from initial investment to exit typically falls in that 3 to 5 year range. Another bucket would be growth equity, which has a similar time horizon to buyouts, but the strategy involves making minority investments in private companies seeking capital for a particular growth initiative. And what we mean by that is a company may be looking to expand into new geographies or add a new product line, and they seek outside investors to help fund those initiatives. Next is venture capital. Venture capital strategies typically have a longer time horizon in terms of the time between initial investment and when distributions come back and the fund exits the company. And that's really because these funds invest in early stage companies, sometimes before a company has revenues. So it takes time to build out these companies, but with that additional risk, often comes higher return expectations. We also invest in real assets, which is a broad category that can include real estate, oil and gas, timber, among other things. And then another very broad category is private credit, which captures strategies such as direct loans, mezzanine debt, and distressed. The primary difference with this category is they manage investing in some layer of debt rather than the equity of a company, which is the case with buyout, growth equity, and venture capital. And then one other bucket that I actually think is quite unique to Choate in what we're doing in terms of our investment strategy is investing in search funds. Search funds are an emerging segment of private equity where investors back a CEO who searches for an existing profitable company to acquire and then use it as a platform to improve operations, build scale, and market share. Overall, the way that we do this is that the Choate Private Markets team regularly meets with managers, and as such, we're always calibrating what strategies look interesting, which teams, you know, really rise to the top of the pack. And we're always ranking these managers in an effort to only commit to those top-tier managers. We are currently spending most of our time looking at buyout, growth equity, early stage venture, and search funds. However, as markets shift, we're continuously evaluating other strategies. We always want to be flexible and move where we see the best opportunities arise.
Well, thank you, Allison. We hope this gives a brief overview of the private equity investment universe and how it might fit into a family's typical investment portfolio. In addition, we're always happy to answer any questions that you have, so please reach out to your Choate team, and we hope you have a wonderful summer. Thank you.
The information provided in this recording is for informational purposes only. While Choate and Choate Investment Advisors make every attempt to present accurate information, the information on this recording may not be appropriate for your specific circumstances, and it may become outdated over time. The views expressed on this podcast should not be construed as advice for your given situation. If you have questions about your specific situation, you should consult your attorney for legal advice, and you should consult your financial advisor. Moreover, Choate Investment Advisors may decide to select investments on a different basis at any time and without prior notice. Finally, as everyone should know, past performance is not a guarantee of future performance.